Sunday I started it called driven. Jesus Christ was driven. He was motivated. That's what the word means. He was compelled. He was energized for us. He came from heaven's glory, came to this earth. He was driven. The Bible says that he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. And he knew he was the God-man. He knew what was ahead of him. The cross, the death, the shame, the spitting, the mocking. That he was driven for us. So let's look at a couple of things, right? Pop it up. We saw that last week that some things that drove Jesus Christ. Today is what drives Jesus' enemies, or what drove Jesus' enemies. But last week we saw a couple of things. Let's just move real fast. We saw compassion. His love drove him. He loved people. He loves us. Terry just sang it. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. That drove him. And that should be the thing that drives our church. We ought to love people.
That's right.
If you just don't love people, or you just can't stand people, or I don't like to be around people, man, you need to find a church that will let you be like that, because we're not going to let you be like that.
Good.
Okay? We're not going to put up with it.
Good.
Okay? Plenty of churches will welcome you with open arms and be mean as a snake. We ain't going to do it. Love people.
Amen.
Jesus loved people. He loved people to pieces. He loved people, the old saying, to death, didn't he?
Yes.
And that's how we'll love folk. So he loved people like that. Secondly, condescension. What does that mean? That means he humbled himself. Philippians says he was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. And that's the way Jesus is. He humbled himself. He touched people. He cared for people. Remember when the kids came to him? They said, get those kids away from me. His disciples said, get those kids out of here. Jesus said, you hush your mouth. Suffer these little ones to come unto me. Forbid them not the kingdom of God. He loved them. He was humble. He was approachable. See, if we're not humble, if we're full of ourselves, we aren't approachable. Does that make any sense to you? If we put off this air, look at me, nobody's going to want to approach you or find anything out about Jesus Christ. Okay? He had humility. Also, we see what drove Jesus was courage, strength. He was strong like a rock. Remember when Lazarus was sick and he wanted to go see Lazarus, and his disciples said, we can't go there. They're going to kill you back in Judea if you go there. He said, tough, we're going. He risked his life for his friends. He gave his life for us. He set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. He knew the cross was ahead, but he had courage. He was strong. He stood up to the religious phonies of his day. He didn't just talk about it in a back room somewhere. He went out on the temple steps right in front of where everybody was coming into the temple, and he told them like it was. He went to the temple, flipped the money changers' tables, things like that. That was Jesus Christ.
Good.
He wasn't a wimp. Are you hearing me there? Say that with me. He wasn't a wimp. Get it straight, you're thinking. That's our Savior. He was strong. He was mighty. And that's who we see. Jesus Christ. Those three things. Let's keep moving. So we see that about Jesus. And we saw that last week. Amen? And he's got the verses right there. Verses about Jesus. Let's look at that last one right there. But God said with me, commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's look at another scripture. I believe we've got Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, say that with me, endured the cross. Why? Despising the shame. And he sat down now at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus loved us. He humbled himself for us. He was strong for us. That's Jesus Christ. He was driven. So we know what drove Jesus. And those are just some things that I saw. But there are many other things. But what drove his enemies? And we want to go real fast. I only have about 7 minutes. Exactly the opposite thing drove his enemies. He loved. He was humble. He was strong. The opposite thing, I think, drove his enemies to do what they did, to kill him, to mock him, to come at him all the time. So let's look at it. First of all, what's the opposite of love? Hatred. They hated Jesus. And we've got all kinds of scripture. I've got way too much I can share. I can't share it all with you this morning. But let's just look at it. Isaiah 53, we know that great passage. Go keep going. Let's look at another verse. There you go. He's despised and rejected of men, and Jesus was. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him. Now that's how Jesus Christ was when he came to this earth. The religious leaders despised him. They hated his guts. Did you know that or not? Say. They hated it. Doesn't make any sense. But people hate Jesus today.
That's right.
People hate Jesus today. You know, I tell you what a few years back they took a crucifix, put it in urine, and put it on display downtown New York City as an art display. But the world's up in arms because somebody does a cartoon of Mohammed. You can get by with ripping on Jesus, cracking on Jesus, putting Jesus down, using Jesus' name in vain, saying everything. He's still despised. It's high time we as Christians stand up for Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being violent or ugly. I'm talking about living for him. Love him. You know? He was despised by his enemies. He doesn't need to be despised by us. He needs to be loved by us, praised by us, lifted up by us. But he's still despised today. His enemies hated him. Let's keep moving. You know why they hated him? He didn't look the part. He didn't look the part. Okay? He was different. He was born in Nazareth. From the Galilee. He didn't grow up there in Jerusalem. And he just didn't look the part. He didn't fit the part. He didn't get in line. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just get in line. Do things like they always said to have to be done. Well, he went against the grain. He pushed the envelope. You understand where I'm coming from? Read your Bible. Figure it out. Look at it. You'll see he did that. Look, next thing. He didn't act the part. Jesus didn't act anything. He was who he was. He was holy, the sinless, spotless Son of the living God. And they couldn't handle that.
That's right.
You know, no, you need to do things this way. No, I don't. And that's the way Jesus was. I need to do what's right, period. And that's the way he was. He didn't play the game. When Jesus came to this earth, there was a big religious game going on. Big, and read it. You can see it in your scriptures. Just a big religious sham, a religious game going on by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those that were ruling. And they just hated that because he didn't get in line. Let's look at a couple of verses, then we'll have to skip over a bunch, Raj. Matthew 26, then assembled together the chief priests, these were his enemies, and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest. These were his enemies of Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might what? Say it with me. Take Jesus by subtlety. And what? I don't believe you'd just be killing somebody you like. Do you? They hate this death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. But they hated it. And I've got so many scriptures that could show you that. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he's at hand that doth betray me. Jesus speaking. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and from the elders of the people. These are the religious people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. If you know your Bible, you know that he was paid. He was put up to doing this by who? The sorry, no good sinners and tax collectors did it, or was it the religious people that put it? Religious folks. Sure it is. I think a lot of people today that are religious hate Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now I know that's an ugly thing to say on Easter Sunday. But they don't believe the Bible. They don't talk about Jesus in their churches. They don't tell people how to get to heaven. Yet they love Jesus? I don't think so. And these folks didn't love him. They hated him. Jesus said to them, friend, why are you come? Then came in, they laid hands on Jesus and took him. There's a lot of religious folks that are even buying into this crazy, absolute, idiotic idea that Judas, the new gospel of Judas, was his best friend. You know what? If you believe that, I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to be. If you believe that, you deserve what you get. Because you know the truth and you reject the truth and you want to believe that crap. Excuse me.
Good.
That's what it is.
Good.
Yeah. I know that's ugly. I've been up a long time. Here we go. What did they do? They bound Jesus. The second thing. They led Jesus away. The third thing. His enemies. They delivered Jesus to Pilate. I'm convinced today This is the religious people. And I'm convinced today in my heart, like I said before, I believe many of Jesus' enemies today are religious people. We had the scientists. Remember a few weeks ago, we had the scientists stand on this stage? He said, my problem is not the scientist anymore and arguing with the evolutionists. He said, it's the theologians that don't believe the Bible, that are arguing with me about did God create the planet and things like that. Crazy. And I think today that in many of our churches, we are binding Jesus. We're leading Jesus away from our churches. It's a sad state. That's just not my opinion. That's reality. That's what's happening. Jesus had enemies. They hated him. Second thing that drove his enemies, pride. What was Jesus' strength? What was it about Jesus? He was humble. His enemies were full of themselves. Pride. Let's look at it. It was all about them and not about him. Say that with me. It was all about them and not about him. One more time. It was all about them and not about him. We've got some verses on pride. Humble yourselves inside the Lord. He'll lift you up. And then you see over Proverbs 6:16, six things doth the Lord hate, seven are an abomination. Verse 17, we didn't put up on purpose. First thing, a proud look. That comes before a lying tongue and even hands that shed innocent blood. God hates pride. And they were full of themselves. Listen to what Jesus said about them. This is what Jesus said to their face. Real fast, wives. What do we got? Therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, Jesus talking about the Pharisees, talking about the religious leaders, those that hated his guts, those that were full of themselves. He said, they bid you observe, and that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. They say and do not. They were full of themselves. They told other people how to do stuff and what to do, but they didn't do it. It's like something else. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move one of their fingers. They like others to work, and they do as little as possible. You ever work with somebody like that, don't raise your hand. That's rough, ain't it? Or work with somebody, try to be the boss man, and they ain't doing nothing. That's what they did. Thought they were above it. All their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad phylacteries. Those were boxes they put on their head with the scripture inside. And they would make big ones. The more proud they were, the bigger their box got. Can you see some sucker walking down the street with some big box on his head saying, I'm religious? I'd say, you're nutty. Big box on your head. What is that? Why? They want to be seen of men. Look how big my box is, Earl. Okay. They were full of themselves, his enemies. It drove them. They loved the uppermost rooms at the feast. They loved the chief seats. What do they want? They want the best seats for themselves. Can you feel it say? Greetings in the marketplace. They love that to be called. They want to hear their title. But can you like call me Reverend, please? Come on. I just assume you not call me Reverend. Okay? You can call me. That doesn't bother me. But I certainly don't need to hear it. You call me Gary as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't bother me a bit. Okay? I really like the kids to call me Mr. Clark or Pastor Clark. Why? Because I was raised that way in the South.
Good.
We still say yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. And if your kids call me Gary, you know, I might hear them say, no, Mr. Clark. But it's not because I want some fancy title. It's because I think they'll learn how to speak. Okay, that might be a little fashion too.
No, that's good.
I mean, it is good. Good. Amen. I got my brother, he is raised that way. What? That's what we would get. Anyway, let's see what else. Pop that up. They turn people off and they turn people away. That's what they did. Let's keep moving, Roger. They took advantage of the needy. They devoured widows' houses. They were so full of themselves as enemies. This was what drove them. Their word was no good. What they said was no good. These were his enemies. What I'm trying to say, something is going to drive you. Is it going to be love, humility, and courage? Or is it going to be hatred, pride, and then finally, let's keep moving. Finally, what was it that drove them? And I'm done this morning because we ran out of time. Fear. Fear. They definitely didn't have courage. These religious leaders, his enemies, they hated him, they were full of themselves, and they were scared to death.
That's right.
They were afraid.
That's right.
Fear not them which can kill the body, Jesus said. They're not able to kill the soul. You ought to fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But they really cared what people thought for themselves, and they cared so much that it made them afraid, and they had to get rid of the messenger. That's what they had to do. Let's keep moving, Raj. There's no fear in love. Let's keep moving. We shouldn't be fearful, but his enemies feared losing their control. Can you say that with me? His enemies feared losing what? Power! They run the joint, didn't they? So, and he threatened them. Threatened to bring the whole thing down because people were following him. Boy, they really liked it. Folks liked what they saw in Jesus, didn't they? Somebody healed them, somebody touched them, somebody that loved them, somebody accepted them. Somebody saw things just like they did. They saw that these folks were crooks. Jesus saw it too. They related to him. And they feared losing control. It wasn't their strength that allowed them to have Jesus set up and killed. It wasn't their strength. You know, anybody can kill somebody. That doesn't mean you're a strong person. Because you're a violent person doesn't mean you're strong at all. It means you're scared of something. I'm convinced my stepdad shot and killed my mother 12 years ago because he was scared of her. He was scared of her faith in Jesus Christ. He was scared that he would abuse her and she would still keep going and keep smiling.
Good.
They were scared to death. It was their weakness that drove Jesus, drove them to kill Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of it. So what drove them? They couldn't effectively argue with what Jesus said, so they'd shut him up, right? So they couldn't argue with him like this. Remember how many times they tried to ask him questions and trick him up, and what happened? They couldn't do it. So we got to get rid of him. He's a problem. And that's what they did. We'll end with this today. Last thing. They feared humiliation. Jesus Christ humiliated. He didn't do it to make himself look good. But that's what truth does. And he gave truth. Now, friend, I just want to just close real fast. And that is, you know what? I'd rather be humiliated down here on this earth, personally. Somebody call Pastor Clark. You believe in Jesus? Yes, sir. You believe he died on the cross? Yes, sir. Hey, I was arrested the other day. Nice gentleman. But a man came up to me, and I know him. He runs the place. He said, you believe. He knew we had a creation speaker over there. He said, you believe in creation, just like the Bible says, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, you believe in a young earth, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do. And I said, you know what, sir? I said, he started this thing. I didn't. And he said to me, I said to him, I said, listen, I said, if I don't believe every word in this book, then I quit. I quit. And I said, if you don't believe in the restaurant you work for, you ought to quit.
Good.
You know? And then I was real ugly because it had the picture of that fish alligator thing on the paper. Remember that? Remember that? And I said, and by the way, here's your mom in the paper. But I mean, we kick like that back and forth. But he hadn't talked to me since, so. I don't know. No, we can't be ugly and mean. I was just kidding, you know. But anyway, the point is, believe. I'd rather be humiliated here. I would rather for somebody to think I'm a nut here than when I get to heaven or get before the judgment seat of Christ and he says, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah.
Boy, that's serious humiliation.
Yeah.
Okay? So what is it with you today? Is it going to be love? Humility? Courage, or is it going to be hatred, pride, or fear? What drives your engine? Next service, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to give a message because what drives me personally? We're going to take time to preach it next time, okay? Let's stand together.